And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse. On this podcast, we're going to go over the Cincinnati Bengals 2024 regular season schedule. As the NFL had their release schedule on Wednesday, everybody was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it because, honestly, baseball is not going well for the Cincinnati Reds. So all week, I was looking forward to the NFL schedule release, and it came out on Wednesday, and I am very excited. I'm already ready for football season. Let's get it going. Also, as always, we're going to do our Reds weekly update. Honestly, guys, I did not want to do a Reds weekly update, but I have to stay consistent on this podcast while doing a Reds weekly update. So we'll do that towards the end of the podcast. But let's start off with the Bengals 2024 schedule. 18 games, and the Bengals have 5 primetime games. 5. Last year's Bengals team was 9-8, even though they didn't make the playoffs. The NFL still respect the Bengals because Joe Burrow was hurt last year, okay? They didn't have their best player on the football field pretty much the whole season. I mean, he started off the season with a calf injury, and then he got healthy, and then he hurt his wrist, and then he was out pretty much for the remainder of the season. So, the NFL was saying, okay, last year, didn't have Joe. We're still going to put the Bengals on the key games on the national spotlight. So, I was happy about that. Also, the Bengals finally get a home opener for the first time since, well, 2022 they had against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I didn't think they were going to get a home opener. I thought they were going to go on the road against a divisional opponent. I was thinking that they were going to play the Steelers for the first game. But they get a home opener at Paycor Stadium week one against the New England Patriots at 1 o'clock Eastern on CBS September 8th. The Patriots have their new head coach in Jerod Mayo, who played for them as a linebacker. And we don't know who's going to be the Patriots quarterback. It could be Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, who they drafted in the NFL draft with the 3rd overall pick in this year's draft. Now, I think some of you guys are probably going to ask, Jesse, are you going to go game by game for the schedule and predict the winners? I don't want to do that because I want to know if Joe's going to be healthy and I want to know if Joe's going to survive training camp. But for the sake of this podcast, and let's just have fun, let's just do it, okay? The Bengals better win against the Patriots in week one. I was talking to Tommy this week when the schedule came out, and we were both saying that if the Bengals don't beat the Patriots here, we both are going to lose it in the first podcast of week one when it comes to the recap we do during the regular season. They better beat the Patriots, okay? And if you're a betting person and you see the line of this game, right now the Bengals are favored by 9.5. That's a little bit too high for me. Out of all the week one games, that's the highest spread out of all the games. I would take the Patriots plus 9.5. I think this game will be a close game. And I think the Patriots are going to improve this year. And I think Jerod Mayo is a good coach for them when it comes to he knows the system, he knows the culture. And I think they're going to play hard no matter what. And I think that's just what you call it, the Patriot way. But the Bengals better win this game, okay? They better win this game, and they will. It'll be a close game. Hell, I will not be surprised if the game goes to overtime. So, week one dub against the Patriots. Week two, Kansas City Chiefs, the 2-time defending Super Bowl champs. They go to KC, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on CBS, September 15th. And you already know, Bengals, Chiefs, CBS, National Spotlight Game, Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Can't wait. Honestly, I'm glad that the Bengals are playing the Chiefs early because no, the Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champs, but the Chiefs don't really start off the season that well in September. So I'm glad the Bengals are playing them here to begin the month of September. This game could go either way. I can see the Bengals winning. Obviously, I can see the Chiefs winning. It's tough. So I'm going to lean on the Chiefs winning this game. It'll be another classic game. And let's just hope Joe will be in this game, okay? Because Joe versus Pat is must-see TV. But if the Bengals somehow win this game, man, huge when it comes to seeding implications, number one seed potentially in the AFC. This game early on is a big game for the Bengals. I think this is more important to the Bengals than the Chiefs. I'll be happy if they win this game. I want them to win this game. But I'm taking the Chiefs. So 1-1. Week 3, they take on the Washington Commanders. 8:15 p.m. Eastern on ABC. September 23rd, Monday Night Football. You got to win this game too. You have to. Okay? The Commanders have Jaden Daniels, their second overall pick in the NFL draft out of LSU. I mean, the NFL was like, okay, let's pair up with Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU, against Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU. LSU versus LSU boys. I think that's why they put this game on Monday Night Football. You got to get this W. You got to get this W. I think the Bengals will get that as well. So 2-1. And then week 4, they go to Carolina, take on the Panthers and Bryce Young. 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox. September 29th, you got to win this game too. I think the Panthers will be improved this year. I think Bryce Young got so much flack last year, especially being a rookie. The Panthers didn't give him anything. No supporting cast. And I think this year he'll be much improved. And I think the Panthers overall will be a much improved team. So the Bengals better not overlook them. This will be a tough game, but overall the Bengals are the better team. And they should win this game, but it'll be closer than what y'all think. So the Bengals will be 3-1, heading into their first matchup against the Baltimore Ravens Week 5 in Cincinnati, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS, October 6th. Bengals got to get this W. You have to win this game. It's in your division. You're playing your rival, the defending AFC North champions. Got to get this W. And I think the Bengals will win this game. It'll be a close game. But the Bengals will beat the Ravens, and then they'll move into 4-1 on the season. And then week 6, they go to New York to take on the Giants on Sunday Night Football, 8:20 p.m. Eastern on NBC, October 13th. For some reason, the NFL is giving the Giants and Jets so many primetime games this year. Why? I have no idea. The Giants and Jets are not must-see TV. Whatever. This is a tricky game. I think the Giants will be better. I don't think they'll be any worse. They drafted Malik Nabers with their first pick in the NFL draft in the first round. I think he's going to be good, but he's going to get the ball thrown to by Daniel Jones. And I'm not really too high on Daniel Jones because this guy is an interception turnover machine. They don't have Saquon Barkley because he went to Philly. Wild right there. This is a tough game. It's a tough game. Oh, man. I don't know. I'm taking the Bengals. It will be a close game, but I think the Bengals overall are the better team. So the Bengals are 5-1 after 6 games. And then week 7, they go to Cleveland and take on the Browns, 1 p.m. on CBS, October 20th. Bengals historically struggle in Cleveland, so this will be the Bengals' second loss of the season. So the Bengals are now 5-2. Week 8, home game against the Philadelphia Eagles, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on CBS, October 27th. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. This should be a really good game. I think the Bengals will win this game, so the Bengals move to 6-2 on the season. Week 9, the Las Vegas Raiders comes to town, 1 p.m. on Fox, November 3rd. I think Vegas will be a decent team this year. I'm glad they hired Antonio Pierce because he did well in the interim job last year. This will be a tough game for the Bengals. I won't say they look ahead. They're not going to look ahead because they have the Ravens coming up after this game. But I think this will be a W, but a very close game. So Bengals over the Raiders. So that's what, 7-2 after 9 games. And then week 10, short turnaround, another Thursday night football game at Baltimore, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video, November 7th. And I think you guys already know, last year when the Bengals played the Ravens on prime time on a Thursday night, Joe was lost for the season with his wrist injury. Hopefully, no shit like that happens again this season. I see the Ravens winning this game. So that's 7-3 after 10 games. And then week 11, the Bengals go to LA to take on the Chargers, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on CBS, November 17th. Jim Harbaugh, first season as the Chargers head coach. I have this game actually as a loss. And yes, the Bengals now have lost back-to-back games. I think Harbaugh being the Chargers head coach is going to help Justin Herbert. I think that's the right fit for Jim Harbaugh to go to the Chargers. And I think they'll be, I won't say they'll be like significantly better. They'll be definitely be better than they were last year. So I have this game as a loss. So the Bengals go into their bye week in week 12, 7-3. And then after the bye week, they have the Steelers coming to town to Paycor Stadium, week 13, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS, the first day of December. I have that as a W, so the Bengals are now 8-3. Week 14, Monday Night Football at Dallas against the Cowboys, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, December 9th. This is a tough one. I'll have this as a loss, unfortunately. So that's 8-4. Week 15 at Tennessee, 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox, December 15th. Brian Callahan, a new Titans head coach. Tyler Boyd, now a Titan. Lots going on in this game. I think the Bengals will get their revenge because the Titans last year, as you guys remember, I don't want to remember that game at all. The Titans destroyed the Bengals. I think it was like 27-3. So the Bengals will get their get back. I swear, the Bengals have played in Tennessee like 4 times in a row. The last time the Bengals played a home game against the Titans was like 2020. Feels like every single season they're playing in Nashville. But I have the Bengals winning this game. So that's 9-4. Am I right? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 9-4. And then week 16, short turnaround. Home game against the Cleveland Browns, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video, December 19th. I have that as a W. So that's 10-4. And then week 17, home game against the Denver Broncos. That's TBA. It's either going to be on December 28th or the 29th, either Saturday or Sunday. I have that as a victory. So that's, 11-4? 11-4, right? 11-4, something like that? 11-5? Hold on. Goodness gracious, my math is not right. Let's go back. They beat the Patriots, 1-0. Lose to the Chiefs, 1-1. Beat the Commanders, 2-1. Beat the Panthers, 3-1. Beat the Ravens, 4-1. Beat the Giants, 5-1. Lose to the Browns, 5-2. Beat the Eagles, 6-2. Beat the Raiders, 7-2. Lose to the Ravens, 7-3. Lose to the Chargers, 7-4. Beat the Steelers, 8-4. Lose to the Cowboys, 8-5. Beat the Titans, 9-5. Beat the Browns, 10-5. Beat the Broncos, 11-5. Okay, so we're good. 11-5 so far. Last game of the season, week 18 at the Steelers, either January 4th or January 5th. I have that as a loss. So right now, early season prediction when it comes to the schedule record. I have the Bengals at 11-6. I really like this schedule because last year the Bengals had the toughest schedule in the NFL by far. And it's a good thing that their first six games, you got winnable games against the Patriots, Commanders, Panthers, Giants. And then after the bye week on week 12, December 9th through December 19th, the Bengals have three games in 10 days. So the Monday night game against the Cowboys, a Sunday game at Tennessee, and then a Thursday night game against the Cleveland Browns. That's going to tell a lot where the Bengals are going to be when it comes to their playoff positioning and etc. Big stretch coming there right there for the Bengals. Whew. And I think a lot of teams got really the bad end of like playing like three games in 10 days. I think the Steelers have that as well. And I believe the other team as well have that. That's going to be tough. But I'm glad that the Bengals' bye week is in week 12. So they can be rested up for that stretch. But that's going to take a toll. And then after the Thursday night game against the Browns in week 16, hopefully the NFL is like, okay, the Broncos game on week 17, which will be at home, it's TBA because it's either going to be a Saturday or a Sunday game. Hopefully, it's a Sunday game so they can get at least one more day of extra rest. And then the best games out of this schedule that I'm looking forward to, obviously the Chiefs in week 2. And then I'm looking forward to the Giants matchup. I think that's a game that could be a really good football game. And then the Eagles matchup. And then the Ravens matchup, and then the Monday night game against Dallas, and then I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Cowboys game on Monday Night Football. Burrow versus Dak. Everyone loves the Cowboys, all that shit. So I really hope that the Bengals beat the Cowboys down there, because last time the Bengals played the Cowboys, the Bengals lost in dramatic fashion week 2 of the 2022 season. I like the 5 primetime games. And yeah, can we like start the season already? I'm already looking forward to it. So that's the Bengals schedule. Here's a recap of all the games that the Bengals will be playing in 2024. Week 1 against the Patriots. Week 2 against the Chiefs. Week 3 against the Commanders. Week 4 against the Panthers. Week 5 against the Ravens, week 6 against the Giants, week 7 against the Browns, week 8 against the Eagles, week 9 against the Raiders, week 10 against the Ravens, week 11 against the Chargers, bye week in week 12, week 13 against the Steelers, week 14 against the Cowboys, week 15 against the Titans, week 16 against the Browns, week 17 against the Broncos. And then to finish off the season, the regular season, week 18 against the Steelers. Looking forward to the season. And yeah, let's just get this season going for real. All right. Every podcast on a Friday, we have to do a Reds weekly update. The last one I did last week, I was very vulgar. And I definitely pronounced that word wrong. I don't care. It's my podcast. I can say mispronounced words. I probably said like a billion mispronounced words on this podcast. Don't care. I have to stay loyal to some of the Reds fans on this podcast that want to hear my weekly update and thoughts of the Cincinnati Reds. So I have to do that, okay? So last weekend, the Reds began their West Coast trip in San Francisco against the Giants. 3-game set Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it started off well Friday night in San Francisco. The Reds winning 4-2. At the time, snapped an 8-game losing streak. In the first inning of that game, Spencer Steer had an RBI double that scored Ellie De La Cruz to make it 1-0 Reds. In the bottom of the first inning, Estrada of the Giants homered. And then the bottom of the second, Fitzgerald of the Giants had an RBI single to make it 2-1 Giants.
Top of the third, Spencer Steer, RBI single, tied the game at two. Top of the fourth inning, TJ Friedl, RBI double to make it 3-2 Reds. And then in the top of the eighth inning, Stuart Fairchild inside a park home run. That was crazy. That made it 4-2 Reds. And then in the ninth inning, Alexis Diaz came on and got the save. Reds 4, Giants 2. Andrew Abbott, 5 innings pitch, 6 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. He threw 88 pitches. And his ERA for the season as of now is a 3.35 ERA. Good start to the road trip. The Reds needed that after getting swept by the Giants and in Baltimore in their last homestand. They needed that. So hopefully they carry momentum into game 2 of the series against the Giants on Saturday evening. And they did not. They lose 5-1. And the big blow of this game was in the first inning, Matt Chapman, grand slam for the Giants, 4-0. That was pretty much game. The Reds finally got on the board in the fourth inning. Ellie De La Cruz homer to center to make it 4-1. And then the Giants tack on another run in the seventh inning. Nick Lodolo, 6 innings pitched, 5 hits allowed, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. He threw 98 pitches. And his ERA for the season is at 3.34. And we will talk about Nick Lodolo here shortly. And it's not good news. And I will contain myself when it comes to that. Series finale, Sunday afternoon. The Reds are going for the series win, hopefully. And they did not get it done. Losing 6-5 in 10 innings. First inning, it looked very promising. Candelario, bases clearing double to make it 3-0. And then the fifth inning, the Giants scored 5 runs. 5-3, and then Jake Frehley, RBI single in the seventh inning to make it 5-4, and then journeyman Mike Ford, homer to center, 427-foot shot to tie the game at 5, and then in the 10th inning, Schmidt of the Giants hit a ground rule double walk-off hit off Lucas Sims to win it for the Giants. I hated that pitch sequence because Schmidt was 0-10 to begin his big league career. And the first 2 pitches that Sims threw was sliders. And the batter was not even, he couldn't even see the slider. So I'm like, all right, keep throwing that. And then, of course, I believe it was the 3rd or 4th pitch, Sims throws a fastball right down the middle. And he hits it to left field for the game when he hit. Unbelievable. Frankie Muntas, he pitched 4 2/3 innings, 7 hits allowed, 4 and runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He threw 78 pitches, and his ERA for the season is at 4.20. Another series loss for your Cincinnati Reds. Bummer. All right, on to Arizona to continue on the West Coast trip. Started off Monday night. Another 1-1 loss, Reds losing 6-5. Moreno, the Diamondbacks, hit a solo home run to get the scoring going for the Diamondbacks in the second inning. Third inning, Spencer Steer hits a 2-run double down the right field line that scored Ellie and Espinal to make it 2-1 Reds. Third inning, Jock Peterson ties the game at 2 with a home run. And then Smith hits a sacrifice fly to get the Diamondbacks back the lead at 3-2. Sixth inning, Mike Ford hits an RBI single that scored Tyler Stevenson to tie the game at 3. Seventh inning, our boy Gino Suarez hits an RBI single to give the Diamondbacks the lead at 4-3. Eighth inning, Candelaria hits an RBI single to center that scored Steer to tie the game at 4. And then Mike Ford again with the dramatics. At the time, a go-ahead RBI triple, his first career triple, to give the Reds the lead at 5-4. And then in the bottom of the ninth inning, former Red, not NASCAR driver, Kevin Newman, singles to right that score Gurriel Jr. and Moreno to give the Diamondbacks the win 6-5. Of course, Kevin Newman in the season series against his old team, the Cincinnati Reds, just destroys them. Makes absolutely no sense. He didn't do that when he was the Reds last year. Is there something with former Reds players when they're playing against the Reds? They're like Babe Ruth. It makes absolutely no sense. Tough game right there. You come back and then you lose like that in the ninth inning. Unbelievable. Graham Ashcraft was on the mound. He didn't really have his best stuff. He went four innings, allowed seven hits, three walks, three strikeouts, threw 94 pitches. His ERA is at 4.12. Alexis Diaz, blown save, pitched a half inning, one hit allowed, two earned runs, two walks. This man threw 21 pitches, only 9 for strikes and 12 balls. Terrible. So terrible, man. Oh, my goodness. All right, on a Tuesday night, and the Reds get a W. Let's go. 6-2 victory. In the third inning, the Diamondbacks score 2 runs to make it 2-0. Fourth inning, Jake Fraley, sacrifice fly, 2-1. Candelario, RBI single that scores Stevenson to tie the game at 2. In the fifth inning, Will Benson hits a 2-run home run to right center to give the Reds a 4-2 lead. In the sixth inning, Espinal, RBI single to left that scores Stevenson to make it 5-2. And then Fairchild hits a RBI single that scores Fraley to make it 6-2. Great, great victory by the Reds. And Hunter Green, another quality start for him. 7 innings pitched, 5 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, threw 101 pitches. He lowers his ERA for the season at 3.27. Hunter Green is pitching. He's pitching relatively good this year. He's had some moments, obviously, but I am seeing some improvement. I am seeing some growth, and that's really good to see. So keep it up, Hunter Green. You're not getting my standing ovation yet, but he's pitching relatively well over the last month. And that's good news. That is really good news. All right, series finale. The Reds, once again, have an opportunity to go for a series win. And they fall again in one-run fashion. It just feels like this has been the norm for this team so far this year, losing one-run games. 2-1 loss. In the second inning, Christian Walker hits a solo home run for the Diamondbacks to make it 1-0. And in the fifth inning, Espinal ties it up for the Reds with a home run to left center. And then in the eighth inning, Gurriel Jr. hits an RBI double that scored Corbin Carroll for the deciding run and the go-ahead winning run for the Diamondbacks. 2-1, Reds loss. Another series loss. Andrew Abbott, really good in this one. 7 innings pitch, 4 hits allowed, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, threw 95 pitches. His ERA for the season right now, 3.06. Abbott has looked really good this year. Fernando Cruz, unfortunately, got the loss. Ah, man. So far on this West Coast trip, the Reds can easily have a winning record right now. It's just unfortunate. And now, let's go back to what I was talking about with Nick Lodolo. The unfortunate news. Yes, I'm being silent for this one because I was hoping that Nick Lodolo was going to have a season where he didn't have any injuries or any setbacks. Unfortunately, he does. Ah, I hate it. Lodolo to the 15-day IL with a groin strain. I guess it happened in his last start against the Giants. So far in the season, Lodolo is 3-2 with a 3.34 ERA in 6 starts. He's only 26. He's 9-10 with a 4.12 ERA in 32 starts as a Red. It just never ends with their injuries. It just never ends. And here's more. In the Giants series, TJ Friedl hit on the first pitch of the game in the series finale on Sunday. Then on Monday, it was announced that he fractured his left thumb. So Friedl to the 10-day IL. This man just came back after hurting his wrist. And then he hurts his thumb. Oh, my gosh. Small 6-game sample for Friedl. 4 for 22, 182 average, 2 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. The injury list for the Reds is just baffling right now. No Matt McClain, no CES, no Brandon Williamson, now no TJ Friedl or Nick Lodolo. And Nick Lodolo. You can't make this shit up, man. You really can't. I just feel like the Reds are just... The medical staff, I am not going to go off because I already did that in last week's podcast. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. I already had my say about the Reds medical staff. I don't know, man. I don't know. And that's all I got to say. I really don't know. They're just unlucky right now with the Reds when it comes to injuries to their impact players on the team. So, losing both series to the Giants and Diamondbacks is not ideal for this West Coast trip. And now you have to go to LA to take on the Dodgers for four games. A team that is just absolutely stacked. Four-game series. You think the Reds are just going to get absolutely demolished? They're going to probably allow like 80 runs in the four games, right? Well, it started off well on Thursday night. The Reds won 7-2. Makes no sense, right? Baseball is such a weird sport. And the highlight of the Reds in this one was Ellie De La Cruz. This guy went 4-for-4 with 4 stolen bases. We don't deserve Ellie De La Cruz. This guy is just a star. And we're like, what, a month and a half into the season? This guy already has 30 stolen bases. 30! Crazy. And the Reds had to use Brent Suter as the opener for the game. And after him, Emilio Pagan, Justin Wilson, Nick Martinez, Lucas Sims, Sam Moll, Buck Farmer, they held it down. Nick Martinez, who people don't really like, but you knew when you signed him that he was going to be either a spot starter or a long bullpen reliever guy. And in this game against the Dodgers on Thursday night, 5 innings pitch, 1 hit allowed, 4 strikeouts, 68 pitches, he gave you 5 innings. 5 innings, man. Wow. Just wow. So, Will Benson started off the game with a mammoth home run to right center field. 439-foot shot to give the Reds a 1-0 lead. And then Tyler Stevenson hit an RBI double to left that scored De La Cruz to make it 2-0. Stevenson again in the third inning, RBI single that scored De La Cruz to make it 3-0. And then the fifth inning, Spencer Steer struck out, but then Ellie De La Cruz scored because he struck out because there was a wild pitch by the Dodgers starter, Tyler Glasnow, to make it 4-0. And then in the ninth inning, Stuart Fairchild hits RBI double that scored Candelario to make it 5-0. Ellie reached on an infield single that scored Espinal to make it 6-0. Journeyman Mike Ford again, RBI single to make it 7-0. And the Dodgers get 2 runs in the ninth inning. Unfortunately, the Reds didn't get the shutout, but hey, they got the W, and that's all it matters. 7-2. Good start to the series. It guarantees that the Reds will not get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers. For some reason, the Reds play well in LA against the Dodgers. Makes no sense. I didn't even watch the game, okay? I woke up thinking that the Reds probably lost 11-0, and they win 7-2. Baseball's weird, man. So, Friday night pitches, we got Frankie Muniz for the Reds and James Paxton for the Dodgers, who is 5-0 this year with a 2.58 ERA. Yeah, I guarantee the Reds will probably score like 10 runs tonight. And then on, let's see, Saturday, Graham Ashcraft's on the mound for the Reds. And for the Dodgers, you have Walker Buehler, who is 0-1 with a 7.36 ERA. I think he just made his season debut, his last start. And then the series finale on Sunday and the road trip finale, you got Hunter Green on the mound against, okay, I'm going to butcher this guy's name wrong. Yoshinobu Yamamoto something, blah, yeah, so my bad. This guy is 4-1 with a 3.21 ERA. So he's pitching well for the Dodgers this year. Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. I really thought the Reds were going to get absolutely shellacked. But for them to win game one of the series on Thursday night is very encouraging. So we'll see how the rest of the three games of the series go. So you got Friday, 10-10. You got Saturday, 9-10. And then you got Sunday at 4-10. And then the Reds will return home to take on the Padres and Dodgers and Cardinals for a long homestand coming up. That's a 9-game homestand. Yeah. Beginning on Tuesday with the San Diego Padres. And yeah, that is pretty much your Reds weekly update. It started off really sad with losing the series to the Giants and Diamondbacks, but winning the first game against the Dodgers, that super team, and Ellie De La Cruz just doing Ellie De La Cruz things, it's very uplifting and encouraging. We'll see how the remaining three games go. We'll talk about that in the Reds weekly update next week's podcast. All right, guys, that is pretty much it. As always, love you guys. Appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. Always, always turn on your post notifications on Spotify. We're on Amazon. We're on iHeartRadio. We're moving up here. But I know majority of my followers have it on Spotify. So whenever a new episode comes on, you'll know it because you turn on your post notifications. So do that. If you haven't given it a 5-star review, leave a review. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm out. I'll talk to you guys next week. You guys have a great weekend. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Peace.